You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hey, everybody. I want to remind you, this is South Florida's business station, 880 The Biz, just like the guy said. And this is Freed on Business, and I'm Jim Freed.
Yep.
We're here with Casey, and we're here with Wanda. Wanda said, yup.
Hi.
That's Wanda.
How are you?
Chocolate cake.
Drive safely.
Big, nice big piece of chocolate cake. Was it nice chocolate cake? You're going to give me that one later?
Chocolate.
I like that. All right. And we've got Casey Conway. He's the head economist for the CCIM National. He used to be the head economist for Colliers. He's a professor at the University of Alabama Center for Real Estate Studies. Got some great studies coming out he's going to talk about. But now we're going to find out where he thinks you got to put your money if you're in real estate. Hey, Casey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. So I'll give you a couple of quick overviews. So a year ago, this time, the price earnings multiple for the stock market was, believe it or not, almost 24. And after this past December, we sold it down to like a 16 multiple. So we completely repriced equities. Everything went on sale for the new year. We've crawled back to about an 18 average. And if you look at the corporate earnings that we're getting out from the fourth quarter, they're pretty darn good. So for Brian Moynihan from B of A to do all his complaining over in Davos, they did a pretty good quarter, one of their best ones. Most of the banks are doing pretty well. Citi did well. They keep cutting their way to growth. They're not growing anything, but they're cutting their expenses like mad. But your regional banks are doing well. Where I like to put my money, and I have to disclose, I'm on a board of directors for one of these, is a REIT. The robots and algorithmic programming says if you think interest rates are going up, sell the REITs and get rid of them all. And it's absolutely insane. I'm a big believer in the REITs. They're sold down to about a 6 or 7 price times earnings multiple. The one I'm on is Monmouth REIT. I'll give you two examples on either side of the country. Monmouth is based out of Monmouth or Freehold, New Jersey. They focus primarily on industrial and logistics real estate. They're a landlord for a lot of FedEx distribution space. Nothing changed. All good, brand new real estate, net lease deals, insulated from inflation, insulated from expense increases, still producing just great revenue. I'm a baby boomer. I need cash flow. I'm not worrying about as much about the appreciation rate in the stock as much as I want a coupon so I can keep living and doing a good job and having fun. The other one is Rexford out in California. They have a contrarian view. They go and invest in a value-add industrial. It's hard to build new industrial in California. So they buy some of the older existing stuff in Southern California in secondary markets. They rehab it, recondition it, put other smaller tenants in there, and they're having record years. So I'm a big believer in the REITs right now. I think they've been oversold. The robots don't understand what makes them work. The other ones that I like some of the transportation and logistics companies. The railroads I love. We only have 7 Class 1 railroads. We're not making any more. God gave us only one for each day of the week. You guys have some good railroads. They're important to you. You've got Florida East Coast. You've got CSX. I think we're going to have some consolidation in the rail. People are going to pay a premium. We're moving things off trucks on the rail. So I like the railroad stocks. I like the REIT stocks. I'm not a big believer in the financials. They can't figure out how to grow, but even they're doing pretty well. So pay attention to the earnings here. The earnings are telling us that the sky is not falling.
You know, Casey, I just want to go back a little bit to some of the stuff that we started out with, the trade. You know, the trade stuff, the stuff that's sitting off the ports. You know, some people have probably tuned in since you went off on that. So we're sitting here in Florida. What is the shutdown doing to the trade here in Florida?
Yeah, so it's having a huge impact right now in the West Coast, L.A., Long Beach, which are our two biggest ports, but it is having an impact on our Gulf and our Southeast ports. We have right now, the last numbers I looked at the end of last week, where we had over 300 shipping vessels that couldn't unload and come into port because the Coast Guard wasn't open and fully staffed to do what's called issuing their COFR, C-O-F-R, Certificate of Financial Risk, which is a proof of insurance that if they crash into the terminal and destroy the dock, that somebody will pay for the damages. So we're now beginning to see shipping containers and shipping vessels back up that can't come in and unload. That's going to affect our supply chain. I guess it's a good thing it's not the Christmas holidays, but it's something as we move forward here, it's going to affect construction materials. It's going to affect just a host of things that we rely on. We're still a big import nation. So we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to all of our distilled spirits that we make and we export. the alcohol, tobacco, firearms isn't opened up to put the liquor certificates or open up new brew pubs and any new liquors. So the tentacles are extensive here, but I think we're going to begin to understand the impact on the supply chain pretty quickly here.
Now, if the supply chain is impacted, the state of Florida's got a lot of exposure on that because, you know, you got your top ports, your, I guess, New York and Long Beach are your two big ones. But the state of Florida, if you put, what do we got, like 13 different deep water ports or something? If you put them all together, we're pretty big, aren't we?
Right. So Florida kind of doesn't make the top 10 list because you got so many ports. You're the state with more ports and harbors than any other. You're right, 13. As a result, your shipping container business is kind of fragmented. Actually, it's Port Everglades that handles the most, but because they're in the same customs district as Miami, Corps of Engineers gives Miami the credit, but Port Everglades handles a little over a million. You've got Tampa, you've got Jacksonville, all very important, agriculture, shipping container goods, a lot of stuff that moves in and out. So if you rank them, LA and Long Beach are the two biggest. They're doing each about 6.5-7 million of containers. So Port Everglades doing a million looks pretty small. But if you put all of Florida's stuff together, they would begin to rival, you know, a Charleston or a Savannah, which, you know, and even a New York. Savannah just passed 4 million containers last year. Charleston has been the fastest growing port in North America over the last 5 to 7 years. Savannah and Charleston will probably become the L.A. Long Beach of the East Coast. So New York is, after L.A. Long Beach, New York's number three. Savannah's number four. Charleston makes the top 10. If you put all of Florida's stuff together, you would be in the top, you know, four or five ports in North America.
So then what is the pinch point in the United States' logistics layout?
So, I mean, I think the pinch point is, you know, where we do on the East Coast and the Southeast, we do a lot more of the exports. So California brings in a lot of stuff from Asia, mm-hmm. and they bring it all into Chicago, and they get it in the middle part of the country, and then they send all these empty shipping containers back out to go. In the East Coast, we actually manufacture and fill empty containers up and send stuff out, whether it's agriculture, furniture, electronics, medical supplies. We fill those containers up. So we're really the export component that the West Coast is not. And so for our industries that are doing manufacturing, whether it's automobiles, so Jacksonville is very important on the auto side, especially with Volkswagen bringing the cars in and the export of stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Tampa on agriculture, South Florida on a whole host of things. If we can't get this stuff functioning right and keep it going, then really the companies that are manufacturing and employing people here, they're going to be impacted versus the ports that are receiving imports. It's the people in China that aren't manufacturing or whatnot that are going to be hurt more, you know, over there or the West Coast. There'll be fewer people handling it, but they're all labor unions, so they still get paid and everything else. On the East Coast, we're not labor union impacted as much. So we have a much bigger impact as it goes interior to the economy, to all the people that manufacture, grow, process food, process electronics, and we fill those empty containers up and send them around the rest of the world.
Now, one last question. And this is something I never really thought about the impact of till I returned a huge box right before Christmas. How about the reverse logistics? How does that work?
No, great point. So in this paper, we actually looked at the margins on retail. And you would think that with retailers going to online, it must be much more profitable for them. And the exact opposite is true. The traditional shop and pick up retail is much more profitable. The margins are in the 25 to 35% range, and they're about half that on the online order and deliver to me for two reasons. The capital expenditures to do all this online and deliver in the last mile is extraordinary. It's huge, huge capital investment. And the second is 30% of everything we order online, we send back. So my teenage daughters are an example of what's wrong with the supply chain and online ordering. They've taught me how to order clothes and shoes online. They say, Dad, just order three of everything.
Right.
Order the size you think you are, one up and one down.
Right.
Take the one that fits and send the other two back.
Right.
You got to repackage it. Where do you resupply it? It's now been opened. It's been used. 30% of everything we order online gets sent back. That's amazing.
I have friends that order, you know, box, like they order shoes like that and they send four of them back. It's ridiculous. Hey, Casey, I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show. I'm looking forward. I'll call you afterwards. We'll get you on again in a few weeks to talk about your infrastructure thing when it's fully released. I want to talk about all this great stuff. And I got a whole bunch of other ideas we have to talk about. But Casey Conway, we're wrapping up. Tell everybody where they can find your paper if they want to download it in about a week or so.
Yep. Thank you so much, Jimmy. You do such a great job for the industry. It's always an honor to be on the show.
Thank you.
So it's Acre, A-C-R-E, dot Culverhouse, C-U-L-V-E-R-H-O-U-S-E, dot U-A, dot E-D-U. It'll be there on February 1. Jimmy, I'll send to you tonight the short 8-page version that has all the takeaways, statistics, and our forecast that you can share with your readers in advance because you're the best.
Great. No, I'm second best. Number one's on the other end of the line. Casey Conway, the man, the myth, and the legend. And Casey, best to you and your beautiful family. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights and your thoughts with us today.
Thank you, Jimmy, and Happy New Year to you guys and all of your listeners. Keep in mind, Florida state GDP is growing at 4.5%. So if the rest of the country goes to hell, Florida, Texas, the Southeast, we're going to do better. Look at GDP at the state level, not just the national numbers. You guys are going to get through it just fine.